WCCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Texas National Guard troops hit the streets of Chicago today, and Mayor Brandon Johnson has a question.
The governor of Texas should be worrying about Texas. Why he all up in my business?
Both the city and state have filed lawsuits. The government shutdown now entering its second week, and air traffic controller sickouts are affecting more airports. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
The percentage of on-time departures nationwide has ticked down over the last several days as these staffing issues have increased.
James Comey is headed to court to face charges of obstruction and lying to Congress about approving leaks to the media during testimony 5 years ago. Correspondent Scott McFarlane.
The former FBI director fired by President Trump in 2017 has denied wrongdoing, but he will face two criminal charges and an arraignment at the federal courthouse in Alexandria, Virginia today.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. Attorney General Josh Call is running for re-election. He announced yesterday he wants to stay at his post amid rumors he was considering running for governor. He says as federal cuts impact Wisconsin, he wants to continue to, quote, stand up for our freedoms and the rule of law. Call is mostly through his second term as the top law enforcement official in the state. He first beat then-Attorney General Brad Schimmel and then Fond du Lac County District Attorney Eric Toney, both Republicans. Toney is expected to join this race and run against Call in a rematch. There's now a court fight over Wisconsin's registered voters. A Waukesha County judge says the state's top election officials must verify that everyone on the voter rolls is a U.S. citizen. Savannah Tomei Olson has the story.
According to reporting from the State Journal, this is all because of a case brought by two voters represented by a conservative law firm. These voters filed a lawsuit claiming Wisconsin should require proof of citizenship for people to cast a ballot. And this judge agreed, ordering the state to verify all voters are citizens by the next election in February. But then the Department of Justice has filed an appeal asking for the order to be put on hold. Attorney General Josh Call says implementing this new check would, quote, require a massive overhaul of Wisconsin's voter registration statute, end quote. He also argues the judge's order creates a new voter requirement that's not in state law. The judge agreed to postpone part of his order, the part that would have required every new voter trying to register prove they're a U.S. citizen, which Call says would have shut down voter registration in the state. The judge set a court date for October 31st. We have voter ID laws in Wisconsin which require a state ID to vote. Only U.S. citizens and people who are in the country legally can get a state ID.
I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
Brewers and Cubs in Chicago. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game 3 of the NLDS. After two wins in Milwaukee, Brewers manager Pat Murphy asked what is he expecting from the Cubs fans at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to be here a number of times in the last 10 years. I know how great this crowd can be, how impactful it can be, just like ours were the last two games.
Right-hander Quinn Priester on the mound for the Brewers on Facing the Cubs.
They know what they're going to get. We know what we're going to get. And it's just, you know, go to battle. And just, we're going to keep punching back. They're going to keep punching, see who comes out on top. And if we play our style of baseball and we execute the way we can execute on the mound at the plate, we're really confident in our team.
NFL, the Packers getting ready to host the Bengals Sunday. Cincinnati making a trade, sending a fifth-round pick to the Browns for veteran quarterback Joe Flacco. The Bengals losing three in a row with backup Jake Browning after Joe Burrow had toe surgery. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
It is going to be sunny today with a high in the upper 50s to low 60s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. There could be a few spots that get a little frost, especially further north, but lows generally mid-30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-60s. If your bathroom needs a remodel, do it upright, interest and payment free for 18 months. Call Bath Planet 800-329-4115. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Oh, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by nutritionist and founder of Wayless MD, Sherry Stoka. Then fantasy football expert Peter Van Doren joins me in studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
Another day or so of this. Here he goes.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. He's probably tired of me doing this because I'm a little tired of doing this, but we have to have it accurate. We can't say he's live at Lake Mesota. He's not.
No.
He's the founding editor of Up North News. He's Pat Kreitlow.
And here he is now. Thank you, Parker. Also appreciated very much. Nice to have you back here on this Wednesday morning, October 8th, again for another day or two here from Texas, and then back to the Lake Wasota studio, which will be awfully nice, but always nice to visit family as well. Coming up and standing by is Ellie Bordeaux, our new newsletter editor at Up North News, and then later this hour in our homeroom segment, we will be talking to an official for an education advocacy group, talking about how down here in Texas, the growth of the voucher school program funded by taxpayers has been explosive to the point of troubling. And so we'll see what kind of lessons we can take away from Texas to prevent what could become a billion-dollar boondoggle for taxpayers supporting private schools and public schools. Should taxpayers really be asked to fund two education systems in Wisconsin? We'll talk all about that coming up. And then at 8:35, we're going to be talking to Chuck Collins, grandson of Oscar Mayer. So he knows a thing or two about family fortunes, and he specializes in wealth inequality issues and has a new book out called Burned by Billionaires, and about the changes that'll be necessary to the American political system before billionaires ruin too much more of society, the planet, our politics, and more. So if you can't hang around for that at 8:35, be sure to subscribe to us as a podcast. Head over to Spotify and follow us that way, or Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow along. And of course, we'd love to have you follow along with our newsletter, our unabashedly Wisconsin news that's provided every weekday by Ellie Bordeaux. You just sign up at upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the top banner, and the aforementioned Ellie Bordeaux joins us now to talk all about what's in today's issue and beyond. Ellie, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Pat?
Good, thank you. So good to see you again here. And you've come back for a second week, so Parker and I clearly...
Didn't scare away. Did not, wow.
Yeah. No. Nope. We did good.
You're back.
No, you did not. I'm back.
Yep. So Ellie's been producing the newsletter. What are we at? 4 weeks here, roughly?
Yeah. Like just over a month, I think.
Mm-hmm. So, and we've appreciated it very much as we just continue to keep things rolling on stories that we cover at Up North News, some of the news stories, but then a whole lot of Wisconsin features as well. And we talked a lot in the past couple of days about it being Banned Books Week and coverage in the newsletter about that. But you also note that this is National Voter Education Week. And again, we don't have an election here anytime soon, but there's probably never a bad time to get to know more about, you know, what you need to do to be a registered voter and a good voter, frankly.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this week, especially for National Voter Education Week, like you said, there's never a bad time to check your voter registration status. Make sure you're up to date on that. I remember I've talked to plenty of people that are like, I don't even know if I'm registered to vote, that kind of thing. So I think it's really important to make sure everyone's educated on what your polling place is, where are you registered, that kind of thing. Make sure everything's up to date. So yeah, bringing awareness to that is, there's no bad time for that for sure.
No, and again, you've been doing this long enough now as a voter and as a journalist to know that there are plenty of people who like to complain about things, and then you ask them if they vote and they're like, oh no, voting won't do me any good or whatever. And I feel like you and Parker already, despite, you know, being younger adults, I think you're already ready to throw that back at people, the old, you know, if you're not voting, you can't complain.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's that kind of thing is a little bit frustrating. So it's super important to go out and vote. You know, a democracy, that's how it works, is if you go out and vote, and can't do that if you're not registered. So make sure you check that, all that stuff.
It works better if you participate.
Yeah, exactly. And so you've got this new section called Civic Check-In. What's that about?
Yeah. So every week, every Wednesday, we're going to be starting, or I've started doing Civic Check-In. So every week we're going to be taking a look at a new topic of just to check in on your civics. You know, do you know what this means? Is it impacting you? Just make sure people are informed on those kinds of things. So today we talked about authoritarianism and if it's impacting your daily life, what that is, what that looks like, those kinds of things. So,
and it's important to do that because there are words that get bandied about: authoritarianism, fascism, socialism, communist, a democratic republic. Are we a democracy or are we a republic? And so any of these little stories that can help shed some light make for more informed voters. And so Ellie's doing that through the newsletter. And then, of course, here on the radio show, we're bringing back what we've called Movement Mondays, part of the movement toward protecting democracy, where we have different groups come in on Monday mornings and talk about what their groups are doing to educate voters or get them registered or get people informed on the issues. And our friend Abby is working very hard to find some of the guests for those and solicit op-ed columns from them that run on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. So many ways that you can stay, you know, plugged in and increase your civic engagement, which, by the way, is at the heart of what we're all about at Up North News, is just boosting your civic engagement. However, we're also in the business of boosting your appetite for things and for food and for drink. And I recall that when we first talked about doing this story, the headline in the newsletter today is "Get a Taste of the Best of the 8 Best Food Halls in Wisconsin." And he had people going, "Food hall? What do you mean by that? Is that like the food court at the mall?" And no, if some folks who live near them say the Milwaukee Public Market might be the best known of them. But these are, well, tell people more about food halls and, you know, how you can find all kinds of variety at them.
Yeah, I mean, I think I love the Milwaukee Public Market. I think it's, maybe I'm a little biased, but that's one of my favorite. But food halls for me is, or what I think of it as, is like, it's a place where there are a bunch of different vendors. You can go check out a bunch of different things. You've got a bunch of different options, you know, kind of take a taste of everything. So this story really dives into that. There's places all in Milwaukee. There's Mequon. There's Madison. I mean, you've got options all over the state. And this story really takes a look at that, like the Milwaukee Public Market. We've got the Mequon Public Market. We've got the Market on the River in Chippewa Falls.
I was going to say, that's the new one here, the Wisconsin Farmers Union put together when they overhauled this old building downtown right by the river and have turned it into, again, one of these food halls where you have different, you know, eating options, but you also have other markets and other vendors as well. So it's not the malls of the 70s and 80s. They're smaller and they're much more with an emphasis on local.
Yes, absolutely. So this story totally takes a look at all those things. And I mean, I think about the Milwaukee Public Market. I don't necessarily have experience at these other places or the one in Chippewa Falls, but I think about the Milwaukee Public Market, and you've got a spot where you can eat and it's, you can take a little taste of everything. It's great. I love them. So.
Mm-hmm. So again, we've got that story again in our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. That is there as well. And let's see, what else do we have in there for today? Oh, we have, well, that's the story I worked on. Mm-hmm. There's a new bill out there to ban absentee ballot drop boxes. And again, it's a
bill that's not going to get past Governor Tony Evers, but it does, again, say something that we have lawmakers in the state who would remove the absentee ballot drop box option to voters. And so we just want to make sure that people know about it, right, Ellie?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very important to, again, keep people informed on those kind of things, what's happening around the state, what's happening at our Capitol. So yeah, it's super important.
Okay. Let's see. Tony says on YouTube, oh, it's like a malt shop. Sure, it is. Rob from Tigerton says, good morning, Ellie. I love your work on the newsletter. And while we've got Rob here, he says, good morning from Tigerton. Clear and 32 degrees, the coldest since early May. He says, I mowed 4 yards in Tigerton yesterday. It was more mowing leaves than grass with the first freeze, that this could be the last week of mowing. Yeah, we've got the first freeze has definitely hit here. So mowing leaves is going to be much more the issue than it is going to be mowing grass, which means that Ellie is getting right into the thick of, here's where to see fall colors around the state.
Totally. Yes, exactly. We've taken a look at that, and all that stuff is in for the rest of fall. We've got a ton of fall activities all throughout Wisconsin. We talked about this, I think, a little bit last week of our fall guide. Mm-hmm. So that's published on our site now too. You can take a look at all the different fun activities, those kinds of things. We have stories on our site of when the leaves will peak, those kinds of things. Where are they at now? So fall in Wisconsin is my favorite. So
we got, yeah, there's not going to be any shortage of things to do. Is there anything on your own personal calendar, any road trips that you've got coming up? Or I don't know, maybe you've got Packers or Brewers tickets coming up to something?
Well, I am going to Madison for the Ohio State game. Not going to the game, but I'm going to Madison to watch the game. We'll see how that goes. You know, Badgers have been a little bit rocky this season, but fingers crossed.
it's an experience, right, Parker? People are there for the experience more so than the score, which is what we say when you're playing one of the top teams in the country, right?
And you're not a good team.
and you're not a good team. Yes, we have to add that as well. So, all right, for all that and more of the things that Ellie's working on in our newsletter, sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the top banner and get on board the weekday newsletter that she puts together, the Sunday morning one that I work on as well. And Ellie will join us on Wednesdays to give us a little taste of what's in some of these issues. Ellie, great to talk to you as always. Hope you have a wonderful day.
Yes, same to you. Thank you.
You bet. Now, tomorrow, Sharita Booker is going to be here, and we will be talking about weekend events that are coming up around Wisconsin. But Sharita also puts together some of the more popular posts of the past week. I mean, she posts everything that goes on Up North News social media, and then she shares with us some of the statistics of, you know, what's been popular lately. And that includes, over the past few days here, the Ellsworth teacher who lost her job over a social media post dealing with the Charlie Kirk murder. And what does that say when a congressman can attack a teacher's First Amendment rights like that? There's also the story that Selena Heller told us about on Monday about a woman from La Crosse and her, you know, rather emotional reaction to the prospect of not being able to afford health insurance anymore as the enhanced tax credits for the Affordable Care Act get set to expire at the end of this year and Republicans not wanting to renew them. Now, that still could change because that's really what's at the heart of the current government shutdown. But for the moment, a growing number of people are starting to realize what could happen to their health insurance bill if these enhanced premium credits are not extended. And so small wonder that story got a lot of clicks over the past week. Same goes for the new backdoor abortion ban that came from the big bloated boondoggle from the president. It includes language in there that cuts Medicaid funding for Planned Parenthood. Now, Planned Parenthood does not get taxpayer funds for its abortion care services, but does for all kinds of other basic health services done in clinics all across the country, many that serve rural areas. And yet now that funding is looking to be cut, and essentially Planned Parenthood is forced to cut its abortion care services, at least temporarily, while that part of the law is being challenged in court. So those are just three examples that you could find on Instagram, searching for Up North News WI, about stories that are getting a lot of clicks, a lot of likes, a lot of shares, and a lot of comments. And we appreciate you doing that with everything that we put up on social media is share and let folks know that you saw it on North News. All right, we will be talking about the voucher programs here in Texas and then back in Wisconsin coming up in 15 minutes. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Heather Williams, she's president of the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee.
We have our spotlight races. We share them on our website. You can head to dlcc.org. And they are excellent places for people who want to get involved. And frankly, who know that we are not going to win this election on vibes. Like, we have to get out and do the work. And we must communicate with our neighbors, with our community. We must show up for people. Not only do they deserve it, but they expect it.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
And welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. We are talking to Wendy Vesper and Marshall DeLone from DC Everest and their theater department as they are presenting Dare to Dream Junior productions on Friday and Saturday nights, and then a matinee on Sunday. And it is the first production of the year at DC Everest. And I asked Wendy about replacing some of the folks that had left and some of the talent that is now at DC Everest starting a new school year.
The first show of a season is something that you have kids who move on after they graduate and they go on to the next level. What have you seen with the groups that have come in this year? Do you have a lot of talent at DC Everest that you're very excited to show to the public this weekend?
Oh, we do. And, you know, it always surprises me. Like, it's always sad when we lose our seniors in the spring, and you always wonder, like, well, you know, are we going to be able to have people to step up in those? But we really do. We have a large senior class, a very large senior class this year. And then we will have some growing to do, but we, in our younger grades, we have very talented kids. So we know that as our program continues to evolve, we will have people to step in, and we will hopefully continue to do the shows that the public has enjoyed and keep bringing people into our theater.
Yeah, and I would say a big testament to that goes back to what we had said before about the fact that we do run it as a 6-12 in these certain instances. Sure. Mm-hmm. So giving the opportunity such as this for students to, again, you know, they can learn from those older kids, from our large group of seniors, and a lot of talent up in the senior high across the board. But as you said, Chad, there's going to be those moments, yeah, where we do lose every year. There's always a moment where we end up losing some, you know, losing some people, and we go, well, how can we do this? But because we've set ourselves up to be able to continue what we are doing and to let the kids have these opportunities when they are younger, so that then when they become those, you know, senior level students, then they have some experience with that, or they understand what kind of is going on, and then they can also then help guide the younger students that are coming in then.
Yeah, I think it's one of the unique things about our school district is that they really allow us to try different concepts and different ideas. Like, we start with the summer school program, and at first we were just doing it with like elementary grades and up to grade 6, and then all of a sudden it evolved to 9, and now we run our summer school program for grades 6 through 12, and we're always trying to build and create opportunities for kids to be involved in theater. And when you can catch them when they're young, mm-hmm. and if they really love it, they're going to stay with you along the way. And I find that by the senior year, I mean, we have kids that have been in 8, 9, 10 shows in our school district, which is really a unique situation.
The arts are so vitally important, and to see, grab them early as part of the educational process. It sounds like at Everest, this is a vital aspect of the whole curriculum as part of opportunities for young people. Could you talk a little bit about the importance of that, the importance of supporting the arts, and that the district seems to appreciate that as well? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it is a goal of ours that when kids go through the theater program, that it's an extracurricular. It's not a class. It's right. We don't offer it during the school day, but we want to give kids an opportunity to grow as individuals with their talent and skills, but not only with musical talent or dance or acting. We want them to grow as people too. So mm-hmm. we try to lay down some real good life lessons for them to learn about. You can take things away as like time management and organization and skills that will help them be successful as adults also. And I think the school district values that in our program. And we like look at the kids that walk away from our program and go out into the world. And we have very successful people. And it's been really fun now seeing some of them come back and like offer their talents to our program and work with us as alumni too. And do you have anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, again, all of the same things I would just reiterate. But the school district has obviously been very supportive of what we've done in the past, and they continue to be, obviously, with this renovation that has now happened. And also the availability that we have now. I mean, this year is a lot of work that we kind of put on ourselves, but, you know, we are ending up over the course of the season, we will end up doing 3 shows, which is different than our typical 2 that we will end up, that we usually do. So this one was the kind of add-on, but again, we decided, can we handle this with everything else? And with the support of the school district and everybody across the board and parents and the students, yes. I mean, without them, it wouldn't obviously happen. But just the support from everyone has just helped build this program to be what I think it is and what it can continue to be.
What are the other shows this school year?
Well, in November, we will be doing the SpongeBob musical, which we are very excited about as well. And then in the spring, we will be doing Dear Edwina Jr. as well. So another opportunity for some of our younger kids to come through, and just opportunities across the board for everyone.
Absolutely. It was a year of fun. We wanted to just have fun this year, and so we chose shows that revolve around having fun.
You've mentioned the you know, the opportunities for folks and then move on. In fact, I went to Everest many years ago, mm-hmm. and one of my best friends was involved in theater there, and he is still in theater at Cal State Fullerton working within that realm. So
That's
it's
amazing.
Like, you know, you never know. That was many, many years ago. Yeah. But he's still very much involved in it, and I know that you probably have some of these youngsters that will be involved in it for their life's work as well. To wrap it up again, give the details on this weekend, because again, it is Dare to Dream Junior. Dates and times and ticket information, anything for people that have been hooked and they want to come and see it at the renovated performance space at DC Everest.
All right. Well, the shows will take place at DC Everest High School in our theater Friday, October 10th at 7 o'clock p.m., Saturday, October 11th at 7 o'clock p.m., Sunday, October 12th at 1 o'clock p.m. Tickets are available at the door with a free will donation. And people are wondering, like, well, what does that mean? That means you can offer $1, you can offer $20, anything you offer, we will give you tickets. It is a very family-friendly show. It runs about an hour, so it's a great opportunity. Like, if you haven't brought your family to a performing arts performance before, this is a great intro to theater for young families. You could bring any age. It's very active. It's very upbeat. The lights are really cool. So really fun costumes. So please bring your families out. It'll be a great night at the theater.
Terrific. Again, take advantage of it. So many wonderful experiences for the young people and for the audience itself. Dare to Dream Junior Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at DC Everest. Wendy Vesper, Marshall DeLone, thank you both.
Thank you. Break a leg for your entire company this weekend.
Thank you very much.
We now need to take a time out. We'll have a bottom of the hour information update and then back with more with Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on air.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation, and home to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Still no details out of Washington, D.C. on possible federal aid headed to farms to offset soybean losses. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. What do we think will happen? Those details on the way.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
We still expect details this week on federal aid headed to the nation's farmers to try to offset losses, specifically when it comes to soybeans. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, says it'll probably look a lot like the first term under the Trump administration.
It's going to be probably directed heavier towards the soybean side of the equation in terms of just providing straight up aid based off of production. Those are, again, all the rumors that we're hearing out there. Now we'll see what they touch for both, you know, other grains as well. But the initial payments back when President Trump was in office during the first trade war was really pretty much focused on soybeans. And then we think that's going to be where the impact's going to be the most. We'll see what those numbers say today.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Now, as details are released, we'll post them just as fast as we can. Follow us, MidwestFarmReport.com or Midwest Farm Report on social media. Markets are trending lower in overnight electronic trade. Those numbers are next.
From mealtime to snack time, pork has got you covered. Toss chops, rice, veggies, and seasonings in one pan for a weeknight flavor that gets everyone excited. Or add Italian sausage to soup for instant comfort food vibes. It's flavors worth sharing around the table because when pork's involved, every meal becomes the main event. For more crowd-pleasing recipes, visit tastewhatporkcando.com. This message brought to you by Wisconsin Pig Farmers and the Pork Checkoff.
On Tuesday, the barrel cheese stood still at 177. 40-pound block cheese was down a penny and a half at 173.5. Double A butter dropped 2¾ cents on Tuesday, 166¾ per pound. This morning, the November Class 3 milk that goes into cheese up to $16.91. Right now, the December new crop corn's unchanged at $4.19. November new crop soybeans unchanged at $10.22. July new crop wheat, that's down two right now, $5.48 a bushel. Just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand. Rolling into a Wednesday trade session. Sign up for a daily e-newsletter. You won't miss a thing. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
It is going to be sunny today with a high in the upper 50s to low 60s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. There could be a few spots that get a little frost, especially further north, but lows generally mid-30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-60s. If your bathroom needs a remodel, do it upright, interest and payment-free for 18 months. Call Bath Planet 800-329-4115. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters.
Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. If you've been to a Wisconsin sports event, especially a football game, you've heard his voice.
First and 10, Wisconsin.
That's Badger Public Address announcer Mike Mankey. Join us Friday afternoon at 2:30 as we catch up with the Badger legend during UW Homecoming Week. How does he come up with those iconic calls?
Wrong day!
And what are his best Badger moments? Join us for a conversation with Mike Mankey Friday at 2:30 on the Todd Allball Show.
Todd Allbaugh.
As the government remains shut down, what solutions are in sight, if any, and the political fallout in Wisconsin? We'll discuss it with Trigby Olson, the Lincoln Project, and Pat Kreitlow. Next time, join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Hey, we're back at 7:35. Nice to have you along here all across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Live this week down in Dallas doing some family visits, keeping up on the Wisconsin headlines, and in this segment, adding a bit of a Texas twist to it. Now, we've talked previously to our Courier Newsroom colleagues at Courier Texas about what's happening with public education in Texas and the voucher school program there. We've certainly talked to Cam Stevenson from the Copper Courier in Arizona, and now he's out on Capitol Hill, where again, there's continued pushes to use taxpayer dollars to support private, usually religious schools. And of course, every Wednesday at this time, we talk about public education in Wisconsin, and especially the ongoing threat from a voucher program that is rapidly approaching $1 billion in annual cost to taxpayers. And it still seems like a lot of taxpayers don't know that yet, although they're becoming more and more aware of it each time there's yet another school referendum in Wisconsin. So while I'm here in Texas this week, I thought we should maybe find out what is happening here, and are there things that are happening in Texas that we can take away as lessons to protect public education in Wisconsin? One of the groups working hard on this issue is IDRA. That stands for the Intercultural Development Research Association, and the IDRA deputy director is here now, Dr. Chloe Latham Sykes, and joins us from Austin, Texas. Dr. Sykes, good morning. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, we really appreciate it because, again, you've heard the setup of the problem that we're facing in Wisconsin of helping taxpayers understand that whether they know it or not, they are funding two school systems in our state. And the one is, you know, closing in on a 10-digit figure in the state budget. Can you give us a little background on the challenges that public schools face in Texas?
Oh, yes. I'm so glad that you're covering this topic. You know, this is a new terrain for Texas with this private school voucher program. You know, for Texas has over 5.5 million students in our public school system, pre-K through 12. We serve largest population of emergent bilingual or English learner students. Over half of our public school students are considered economically disadvantaged. You know, we're really diverse and we have a lot of needs. And Texas, unfortunately, has always fallen behind the curve in properly funding our public schools. This was a founding issue for the organization I work for, IDRA, establishing fair school funding across our 1,200 school district and charter schools now across the state. And for many, many years, for decades, we fended off proposals for a private school voucher program until now, unfortunately. And there could be a whole segment on the ins and outs and politics of how it happened. And that might be, you know, part of your questions. But essentially, we're going to hit the ground running next school year with a starting point of a $1 billion private school voucher program. And taxpayers in Texas will be funding two school systems going forward with our now, it'll be a universal and statewide private school voucher program.
And I'm wondering, when you talk about the background of it, I know that here in Wisconsin, the way that we have to remind people is it never grew as a standalone issue. Anytime voucher schools would be put up as a standalone bill, it wouldn't pass, or it would get vetoed, or if it was a referendum, it would be taken down. But year after year after year, Republican lawmakers, usually with some Democrats, would insert it into the state budget as something, you know, one of those bills that has to pass. And so by and large, the growth of voucher schools has never been something that's been debated on its own merits. And as we said, it has over the years now been to this point where we're looking at the experience in other states and wondering what it is we might be able to do to stop this from becoming, you know, such a behemoth. But before we get to what we can do, let's continue just emphasizing where we are in Texas and other states right now. I'm starting to see a little bit of even Republican legislators in some of these states going, well, I support, you know, school vouchers. I support private schools. But as a fiscal conservative, I'm starting to get a little bit of concern about how big this is getting. Is there any evidence like that in Texas right now, or is it still full speed ahead for those folks who basically have a blank check for the voucher school program?
Yes. So our private school voucher program is authorized under what was Senate Bill 2 from this past legislative session in the spring that ended this spring in 2025. So this is our rulemaking year. We haven't even seen this fully hit the ground. This program is actually housed not in our education agency. It's housed within our state budget office and the Comptroller of Public Accounts office. And so they just authorized the organization that's going to be administering applications and providers. It's going to be Odyssey, which is a major tech firm out of New York that's done some of these programs. But there was a lot of pushback in the back and forth in the debates. And this proposal died in 2023. It was a major fight. Like you said, a private school voucher program in 2023 for us was tied to a major school funding bill. And we came back for four special sessions after the regular session ended, the most in Texas history in one calendar year, they had a final giant bill, House Bill 1, that had all the bait in it. It had funding for schools. It had increases to the per pupil allotment, basic allotment. It had teacher pay. It had accountability changes. It had all this stuff, and it had a voucher program. This is fall 2023. And there was a motion on the House floor from a Republican, an outgoing Republican, rural Republican member, to strike that article from House Bill 1, to strike it and take out that voucher portion, keep all the school funding bait. And they had the votes. It passed. So then the author took down the whole bill, right? So that was the first time we'd seen the voucher program get to the House floor debate. Our Senate has been passing these out, you know, no problem. But it was the first time it got to the House floor and it died. Now, then we saw a wave of political pressure that got a fair amount of coverage. Millions of dollars coming in from outside sources to the Texas governor to support Republican primary challenges in the spring of 2024. And they were successful. And they got a new House composition of Republicans that were going to be pro the private school voucher program. And so entering 2025, it was pretty hectic. I mean, we had the bill coming out of the Senate in the first couple weeks of session, which, I mean, you can appreciate. Normally, you're just talking about budget, you're assembling committees. They had it going on in January coming out. And in the House, that's where the fight was always going to be. And so what we ended up seeing, what we knew was going to happen, was there was still a holdout of particularly rural Republican members in Texas who knew this is going to be real harmful to our school districts. And they knew what they were hearing from superintendents and teachers and families. On the day of the vote, they were going to make a motion to have a push it to a referendum in November, put it to the voters, as some other states have done. And the president called the GOP caucus. They put him on speakerphone. They had a caucus meeting the morning of the House vote. And he said, get in line, ultimately. I mean, this has been covered. It was brought, you know, it was put out. And it took a call from the president. And they got in line behind the vote. Two Republicans voted against it on the House floor that evening in April. So there was a lot of holdout till the House debate. But ultimately, I think politics won.
Well, yeah, because they obviously, if they're ready to go in January, then you clearly have outside groups that are doing their homework and are trying to put something through. This is hardly anything that's organic at all. And it's where special interests, you know, have the money to be able to hit the ground running and ram these kinds of things through. We're talking to Chloe Latham Sykes from IDRA, the Intercultural Development Research Association out of Austin, Texas, about the growth of school vouchers and taxpayer funds for them. And so at the heart of some of these Republican fiscal conservatives getting alarmed at the price tag of it. Now, of course, in this case, they were primaried and they were bounced so that the special interests protecting private schools could get their way. But I wonder if, Dr. Sykes, what we learned in there is the path forward is really all about information, making sure not just that these fiscal conservative legislators understand the cost, but that all of their constituents, that all these taxpayers understand. I feel like that's the part that's been missing here in Wisconsin, is enough messaging to help people understand that, hey, nobody's against private schools per se, but it's about our tax dollars going there. Is communication the path forward, the best path forward, or are there other avenues as well?
That was key. That was absolutely key. And the fact is, we know we had a 21-hour committee hearing in the House. That might send chills down your spine about this bill. And it was hundreds of families coming out across the state to say, please don't do this. We know. And that was bipartisan. There was bipartisan pushback saying this is actually not fiscally conservative. The starting point is $1 billion. It's estimated in the first 5 years to go past $10 billion. Again, we're going to see how it's implemented next year. But people understanding it has no real accountability for academic and student achievement or financial accountability. The company that's not been chosen to run it was kicked out of the Idaho program because of fraud. And so spreading that message and the research around these programs are bad for student performance. They are bad for taxpayer accountability. They're bad for state budgets. Just look to Arizona, who has been scrambling over their ballooning private school voucher program. That was a key part of the messaging. And that monitoring and research is something we're going to continue to be lifting up and trying to continue to message. I mean, people feel it. We have school closures going on left and right. And even with some school funding that came down in the legislative session as well, I think the pressure of this program and how it'll grow as evidenced in other states is going to be felt very deeply, very quickly.
So what are your next steps? What is the IDRA working on, and how can people learn more about it?
Yes, we have a basic infographic. If you go to our website, idra.org/news/TX voucher law, just to see some of the nuts and bolts of what it is. We have been trying to push people to engage in the rulemaking process of, hey, this program's getting implemented. Your voice still matters, to put some guardrails on this thing. There was just a first round of rules that came out, and there's going to be more. So trying to get people engaged. If they subscribe to idra.org, they'll be able to receive all our alerts and infographics, data dashboards, and additional research that we put out to show how this will affect public schools.
And there are all kinds of good, active people with the Wisconsin Public Education Network who I know are taking everything that you said to heart, and will be looking for all kinds of other ideas to partner in ways that protect our public schools in Wisconsin and Texas and beyond. Chloe Latham Sykes is the Deputy Director of Policy for IDRA out of Austin, Texas. Dr. Sykes, it was a pleasure meeting you. Thank you so much for so much background and inspiration going forward.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care now. When we come back in our next hour, we will be talking to Chuck Collins from the group Patriotic Millionaires about the billionaire class in this country. And how do you keep them from, much like the voucher school program, from gobbling up everything? And it involves making some fundamental changes to the system. But again, people got to know about it. And Chuck Collins is trying to do his part. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
as Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. If you've been to a Wisconsin sports event, especially a football game, you've heard his voice.
First and 10, Wisconsin.
That's Badger Public Address announcer Mike Mankey. Join us Friday afternoon at 2:30 as we catch up with the Badger legend during UW Homecoming Week. How does he come up with those iconic calls?
Run Dane!
And what are his best Badger moments? Join us for a conversation with Mike Mankey Friday at 2:30 on the Todd Allball Show.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. It is a great-looking Wednesday morning. Wednesday morning, October the 8th of 2024. Looking outside here from downtown Wausau, corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. Lots of blue skies, very little wind, but probably the coldest morning that we've had in a very long time. In fact, I think it was a freeze overnight, if I'm not mistaken. Right now, 33 degrees is the temperature.
So as I came into work this morning, did mm-hmm. not have the vehicle in the garage, so had a layer of ice on the windshield. Did you have ice on the windshield? Yeah.
Yep. Definitely had ice on my car.
The thing about it, though, was that I did not have to use the scraper. Just use the windshield liquid, the washer liquid, because it wasn't so cold. It was a major freeze. It was just enough to freeze, and you could use the button to clean off your windshield, and that worked out pretty well. So again,
I just used my defroster.
Yeah, but
I was afraid that with windshield wiper, our fluid was going to freeze if I tried to use it.
And I can report it did not. So that was the good news. Again, so we are getting a dose of fall, but again, it looks like it's going to be just a fantastic day. In fact, again, we are just going through this time frame where we haven't had significant rain in a while. I can't remember, actually, the last time we had significant rain. Maybe I'm missing something, but I can't recall any in the last couple of weeks, and it's going to stay that way. In fact, as I look at the forecast through the weekend, the only chance really is Thursday night, overnight, a 20% chance of showers, and that's not even a very good chance. Yeah. Otherwise, we're expecting a lot of sunshine today. A perfect fall day. I think it's a day where you're able to wear the light jacket, get a lot of sunshine, and the temperature expected to be around 59 degrees before all is said and done. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, sunny and 63. Friday, partly sunny and 64. Sunny and 64 Saturday. And then Sunday, partly sunny and a high near 67 degrees. So, again, if you're somebody that wants to take advantage here, we don't know how long the good weather is going to be for some of these outdoor activities. I was driving on Saturday, coming back from a high school football broadcast, and drove past the Rib Mountain Golf Course. It was packed. I mean, people are taking advantage right now on the weekends of the golf, of the tennis, pickleball, everything else. So people are taking advantage, knowing that here in the state of Wisconsin, even if it's not what you call a normal winter, we haven't had a normal winter in a while. It doesn't a lot of snow.
No, it's definitely not been like your typical winters we have here.
Right. So
some past winters in Wisconsin have been really bad.
Yeah.
So. And that was like just way back in the day.
Yeah. But so again, get out there, enjoy the weather. Yeah. Tonight, make sure you join us from 6 till 8 p.m. It is the Big High School Sports Show right here on 98.9 WXCO, WXCO.FM. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Myself, former Wausau West head football coach Jason Foster, will talk about what's going on as we get towards the end of the regular season in high school football. We'll review the Week 7 action from last week, look ahead to Week number 8 this week, plus special guests. We will have a couple of guests, student-athlete guests from Newman Catholic. Tristan Fisher will be one of our guests. And also Griffin Pent. So those will be our two guests coming up tonight, a pair of guests at 6:30. And then we will also have a coach guest this week, and we'll be talking to the head football coach of Wittenberg-Burnhamwood High School. Been having a really good run in recent years. They are 4-3 this season. Jason Rick, the head coach of the Whitburn Chargers, he'll be with us at 7:06. So again, Tristan Fisher and Griffin Pent at 6:30. Jason Rick from Wittenberg-Burnhamwood at 7:06. Part of the Big High School Sports Show tonight and every Wednesday night from 6 until 8 p.m. right here on 98.9 WXCO, WXCO.FM, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. In fact, for those Newman Catholic young men, this week is the final week of the regular season. It's amazing how quickly the high school football season has been rolling right on by.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, the playoffs begin next week for 8-player, the following week for 11-player. The 11-player has a regular season game this week and another regular season game next week. This Friday night, we have a pair of games, and Saturday, another game of high school football. Friday night, Wausau West hosting Eau Claire Memorial, the Warriors homecoming game, 6:35 airtime, 7 o'clock kickoff right here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.FM and the like. And on the Sports 2 stream on Friday night, starting at 6:40, it is the Newman Catholic Cardinals at Tri-County. That game can be heard again on the Sports 2 stream of WXCO.FM and the Civic Media app. And that game will also air on delay after the Wausau West game on 98.9 WXCO. And then Friday, I should say finally on Saturday, it is Wausau East hosting Lakeland in a Great Northern Conference game. 11:35 for the pregame, 12 noon for the opening kickoff. So three high school football games. And why do we do it? Why do we do that?
It's because we are very, very proud to be the only local Wausau radio station that covers play-by-play action of high school sports.
Yeah, hit it on the head yet again. Are you going to hit it on the head for the number for the day, though?
I certainly hope so. I need to get out of this a slump I'm in.
But even the great ones have slumps. It's about getting out of them, right?
Absolutely.
So we'll have the number for the day and more at 8:22 here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO, 1230 AM, W255DN, Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Texas National Guard troops hit the streets of Chicago today on Trump administration orders. Former Illinois adjutant General William Enyart.
To bring in someone from 1,000 miles away who doesn't have any of those contacts, doesn't have any of that network developed, is absolutely a hazard to public safety.
One of the president's political foes, former FBI Director James Comey, will be arraigned on federal charges of lying to Congress today. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
James Comey will plead not guilty here today, but even before his first court appearance, this case has already unleashed a firestorm, with the president celebrating the case and the president's critics denouncing it.
Day 8 of the government shutdown, and more airports are being hobbled by short staffing as air traffic controllers sick out to protest lack of pay. Union rep Stephanie Winder.
I would say that morale has definitely been impacted, primarily because it's already a stressful profession.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.